Good morning. I'm so glad that you're here to join us. Last few days, a couple of days ago, we finished our campaign series called Daring Faith. And I trust that as you followed along with that campaign series, that you had the opportunity to dig into the devotionals that were in the study guide, that you took time to learn in your small groups, to challenge each other with the word, to encourage each other with the word, and to pray for one another. I trust that you did that in that campaign series. And like I said last week, if this practice of daily spending time in God's Word and taking time to reflect on what God says and speaking to God in prayer, if this has been a new practice for you during the campaign series of Daring Faith, I encourage you to keep that practice going. Spending time every day in God's Word and spending time talking to God is a way that helps us grow spiritually and become mature spiritually. If you need help to find devotionals, just reach out to us. We are here to help you. There's many places you can go. You can go on your devices. You can download printed reading plans. There's all kinds of things that are there for your disposal. So if you need help with any of that, just reach out to us. We would love to help you with that. Today, I want to talk about a story that we find in three of the four Gospels. A story that's found in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and John. It's the story that we call Jesus walking on the water. In every incident in these Gospels, every time the writer talks about the story of Jesus walking on the water, it immediately follows the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children that Jesus did with a little boy's lunch. So today we're going to look at Mark's account of this. And so we're going to pick it up, read it in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. It says this: "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. When he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed." See, Jesus made them get in the boat. That's what opens in our story. We're not told why here in Mark, but the Gospel of John gives us a glimpse into what's happening. Like I mentioned, Jesus had just finished feeding those 5,000 plus women and children with a little boy's lunch, and the crowd had become so enamored with Jesus that John tells us that the crowd wanted to make him king. Now, Jesus knew that that was not the right thing. Jesus knew that the reason he came to this world was not to be the king. At that time, he'd come to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who would die on the cross. And Jesus knew that the ideas of this crowd could get in the way of what God's plans for his life were, so he wanted no part of it. Possibly, he didn't want the disciples to be any part of it, and so he takes the disciples and he puts them in the boat and sends them out across the lake. And then Jesus goes up into the hills to pray. He goes up to spend time with his Father. We're not told what he prayed about. He probably just wanted a time of refreshing in the presence of his heavenly Father. So Jesus made them get in the boat and go ahead of him across the lake to Bethsaida. Notice the Bible says, "Go on ahead." Now, what we need to understand about this word "go" is it's important. It's not a passive. It's not like, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there, or we went here and we're going there. It's a very active, it's a very specific word in the original language. Remember, Mark was originally written in the Greek language. Jesus isn't just saying, you know, get in the boat and go somewhere. Not even just get in the boat and go to Bethsaida. It's stronger than that. The original language gives us the idea that this word go means they are going to go ahead. They are going to go first. So what that really means is, in the strong, absolute sense, Jesus is saying, you go ahead of me to Bethsaida. You precede me across the lake, and I will be joining you there across the lake. Go. It's not passive. It's not just an indication. It's a strong, absolute word. So Jesus' word to them was go. The word from Jesus was go to the other side. So what Jesus is saying is, I am sending you to the other side. Don't worry about anything. Trust me when I say you're going to go to the other side. I will meet you there. Go on ahead of me. Precede me. I will meet you there. And while the disciples take off in the boat, Jesus goes, he dismisses the crowd, and then he goes up into the hills to pray. He goes to spend time, like I said, to be refreshed by his Father. And we're not told how long a time had lapsed, but we know that it's in the middle of the night. And the Bible says Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. We read in Mark's account how the wind was blowing against them. It wasn't just a little wind. It was a strong wind that these disciples were straining at the oars. Now, the disciples are about 5 kilometers out in the lake when Jesus sees them. So the Bible says he went up to the hills, he prayed, and then he saw the disciples. Now, we're not told how he saw. Was it a miraculous seeing, that him being the Son of God, he could just see at that time? It's a miracle. Was there a magnificent big moon, and the moonlight was so strong that although Jesus was up in the hill on a clear day, Jesus could have seen them easily, I believe, with sunlight and a clear day. But here it's nighttime. It's the middle of the night. And Jesus sees them straining at the oars. Or was dawn about to break? I find that hard, because we're told that this happens between 3 and 6 in the morning. So you figure Jesus is out there praying in the middle of the dark. But the disciples are straining at the oars. They are against the wind. The wind is blowing strongly. Some scholars think that even the wind could have been so strong that the boat could have been blown off course a little bit. But here they are, the disciples, struggling to move that boat forward, straining with every ounce that they have. You see, sometimes we mistakenly think that if Jesus said go, it will be easy. I mean, we look at this story. Jesus puts the disciples in the boat and says, go ahead of me. I'll join you later. And you figure that Jesus was absolute when he told them, go to the other side. See, in the middle of your storm, you have to trust in the word of God. The worst thing you can do in the storm is to stop rowing. The worst thing you can do in the storm is to stop struggling to move forward. So, even though you don't see Jesus, he sees you. Notice what the Bible said. He saw them straining on the oars. In those times when you are struggling to hold your ground to move forward, Jesus sees you. In those times when you feel like the storm is going to overtake you and drown you, Jesus sees you. In those moments when it feels like the forces coming against you are stronger than anything you can withstand, Jesus sees you. In those times that you're struggling and it feels like no one cares, Jesus sees you. In those times when you're struggling and you feel like God has forgotten you, Jesus sees you. What's clear is that Jesus came in response to the struggle that the disciples were having. Jesus sees you, and he comes walking towards you. The Bible tells us it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. when Jesus goes walking on the water. Jesus goes out to them. He sees the boat about 5 kilometers out from shore, and the Bible says Jesus goes towards them walking on the water. And notice what the Bible says about the disciples. They were terrified. They were terrified. They weren't worried about the wind. They weren't worried about the straining, but they were terrified when they see Jesus walking towards them. It's possible that Jesus was so far out in the distance at first that they were unsure of what was happening, but we don't know. They scream in terror, "It's a ghost!" Now, what we need to understand is there was a popular Jewish belief at that time that the appearance of spirits in the night meant that disaster was coming. And so maybe the disciples had that in the back of their mind, and it's the middle of the night, it's dark, and it's, there's a ghost coming towards them. They're straining at the oars. Maybe they imagined disaster. We don't know what it is, but they were terrified. And then Jesus speaks to them. He says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus speaks to them in the middle of their fear. He speaks in a way that brings encouragement to them. He identifies himself as Jesus. He's not a ghost. He's nothing to be afraid of. He is Jesus. "Don't be afraid. Fear not. There's no need for you to fear because I am here." You need to allow Jesus' words to speak into your fears. In those times where fear may grip you, where fear may get the best of your thoughts, where fear may get the worst of your imagination, you need to hear what Jesus says. He says to you what he said to the disciples that day on the lake. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Now, Matthew, in his account of this story, he adds something. And Matthew adds something that the other two gospel writers just gloss over or omit at this time. But here's what Matthew writes in chapter 14, beginning at verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." So some of you know this part of the story. If not, let me tell you. As Jesus was walking to them on the water, Peter speaks up. And Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, I want to walk on the water too." I'm paraphrasing what we just read, okay? And so sometimes people criticize Peter for this part of the story, but I say we shouldn't. There were 12 disciples in that boat, but only one of them was willing to take a risk to get out of the safety of the boat and take a chance to walk on the water. Instead of sitting back and just waiting for Jesus to join them, Peter decides, "I want to join Jesus." Peter wants to participate in what Jesus is doing. So Peter says, "Jesus, could I walk on the water too?" And we read it, Jesus said, "Come." And it's amazing that he actually can get out of the boat. I mean, imagine it. The wind is blowing, it's still blowing. Jesus is walking on the water. They're terrified. It's a ghost. Jesus says, "Come." And Peter gets up off his seat and he steps over the side of the boat. And probably to his amazement, Peter is now standing on the water, just standing there, looking around, feeling the wind, looking at Jesus, standing on the water. The Bible says, then he began to walk towards Jesus. And all is going well until Peter notices the storm. And the storm brings fear. And once Peter fears, he begins to sink. What causes Peter to sink? the fact that his faith began to waver because he began to notice the storm instead of the Jesus standing in front of him. He took his eyes off of Jesus who had called him and instead focused on the storm that is raging around him. You see, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your storm. This is where we often get in trouble. We take our eyes off Jesus. We become overwhelmed by our storm. We become overwhelmed by our situation. We become overwhelmed by our problem instead of looking to the one who is the storm calmer, instead of looking to the one who is the problem solver, instead of looking to the one who can take all of our fears and dismiss them, we begin to focus on the problem and not on the solution, who is Jesus. And then Peter cries out to Jesus, "Save me." And immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. See, the one who sets you up is the one who catches you. Jesus never allowed Peter to get to a place where his arm could not reach him. See, Jesus is always closer than you think. You are never in a place where God could not reach you. You might think that God is far away. You might feel like God is not there. But the reality is, the moment when you're sinking in your faith, if you would call out to Jesus, Jesus would save you. He would catch you. Jesus is always closer than you think. Then the Bible tells us when Jesus got in the boat, as soon as Jesus' presence entered the boat, the storm stopped. It's a good thing the disciples kept straining at the oars. It's a good thing they never gave up and let the storm take over their boat. It's a good thing that they did not abandon their ship, because Jesus eventually shows up in their boat and the wind stops. See, the storms of life are not fun. But in every storm, we have an opportunity to learn to trust Jesus. We need to learn to trust and obey his word. In every storm, there is an ability for God to get in your boat and stop it. As you listen to this story, I want to wrap up and I will remind you of three important truths today. And the first is this: when God says something, he will follow through. Remember that when Jesus put the disciples in the boat, he said, "Go to the other side." He didn't say, "Try to get there." He didn't say, "Well, go to the middle of the lake and drown." He said, "Go to the other side. Even if the storm comes, you're going to the other side. I'll meet you there." They just needed to believe the word that God gave them. See, his word was enough. Why do we always want a new word to replace the last word that God gave us? We need to stand on what God has already shown us, what God has already told us. And if God told us to go to the other side, we can trust God's word to get us to the other side. Another thing we learn is when you are in the middle of your storm, God sees you and cares about you. In those times when you may feel forgotten or abandoned by God, it's not true. God always sees you. God always knows you. The Bible says he will never forsake you. He will never forget you. He will never abandon you. He will always be there with you and for you. The last thing I want you to realize today is when your faith may be weakening and you feel yourself sinking, call out to Jesus. Calling out to Jesus will save you. You need to learn to call on Jesus. When you feel like the storm is too much, when you feel like you just can't take another step, when it feels like you're sinking and drowning in everything that is going on around you, you need to call out to Jesus. Jesus is always as close as the whisper of his name. Are you in the middle of a storm right now? I want you to know that God sees you. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. I want you to know that even in the middle of your storm today, Jesus is about to walk towards you. You may need to call out to him today. You don't need to be terrified. You just need to remember. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Maybe Jesus is about to get into your boat today. Maybe today when Jesus gets in your boat, everything will be calm. The storm will be calmed. All you need to do is hang on a little bit longer. Are you in the middle of a storm right now? If you are, I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask God that he would come, that you would see him walking towards you, that you would be encouraged to know that Jesus is close by, that he loves you and he cares for you. If that's you today, if you say, Pastor, I'm in the middle of a storm and I'm not sure what to do, I want you to just call out to Jesus today. Let me pray for you. Father, today I just pray for those who feel like they're in the middle of a storm. Some people may feel today that they're on their last bit of strength, that they've strained and strained and strained long and hard enough on the oars, and they don't know if they could push another day. Jesus, I ask today that you would go walking towards them. Jesus, I ask today that you would get into their boat and calm the storm. Jesus, I ask that when they call on you, you would hear and answer the cry of their heart and answer their prayer. We thank you, Father, that you never leave us or forsake us. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've been listening to the story of Jesus walking on the water today, and as you listen to it, you say, you know what? That's what I need. I need to know God. I need to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, we exist at Highway just to help you do that. And if you want to know more about a relationship with God, I'm going to invite you to pick up your phone and text us. Would you text the word love to our number, which is 416-267-1189. Please follow those prompts. Just the word love. It'll automatically populate to you. Also, if you've got questions about Jesus, God, the Bible, we have an Alpha course on Monday nights at 7:13 online. You can log in right from the comfort of where you're watching right now, and you can join other people as they are on a journey to find God and learn about God. And just that same number, text the word Alpha to that number, and somebody will be back in touch with you as well. All right. I'm so glad that you took time to be with us today and that you joined us at Highway Online. I want to remind you that Highway is a place to belong. And if you're looking for a place to belong, you found it here at Highway. You could even join us in person if you live local to us. Anywhere in the GTA, you're local to us. We invite you to come and join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 online. We just ask that due to pandemic protocols of contact tracing and reserving seats because of space limitations of keeping 6 feet distance between households, that you would just go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, and just click on the button that says, I want to save a seat, reserve my seat, and just fill that out easily. And then we can see you with us in person here at the building. Or, like I said, if you can't do that right now, we understand, but continue to stay with us here at Highway Online as we are about to enter into the Christmas season. So have a great week. Be strong, be safe. God bless you.